Chapter 14. Of Rest for Arms. The Pax Romana ruled, to the chagrin of frontier legionaries. Palestine was annexed though sullen yet, I, being in age some 80 years, and having the garrison in Jerusalem part in my hands as acting officer under the governor. A tedious time I found it, of routine, amid a folk restless, contentless, and irascible. Quelling some riot, sentrying court and hall, sending men forth on public meeting days to maintain order, were my duties there. Then came a morn in spring, and the cheerful sun whitened the city and the hills around, and every mountain road that clambered them, tincturing the grayness of the olives warm, and the rank cacti round the valley sides. The day was one whereon death penalties were put in force, and here and there were set the soldiery for order, as I said, since one of the condemned had raised some heat, and crowds surged passionately to see him slain. I, mounted on a Cappadocian horse, with some half-company of auxiliaries, had captained the procession through the streets, when it came streaming from the judgment hall after the verdicts of the governor. It drew to the great gate of the northern way, that bears towards Damascus, and to a knoll upon the common, just beyond the walls, whence could be swept a wide horizon round over the housetops to the remotest heights. Here was the public execution ground for city crimes, called then and doubtless now Golgotha, Cranion, or Calvaria. The usual dooms were duly meted out. Some 3 or 4 were stripped, transfixed, and nailed, and no great stir occurred. A day of wont it was to me, so far, and would have slid clean from my memory at its squalid close, but for an incident that followed these. Among the tag-rag rabble of either sex, that hung around the wretches as they writhed, till thrust back by our spears, one held my eye a weeping woman, whose strained countenance, sharpened against a looming livid cloud, was mocked by the crude rays of afternoon, the mother of one of those who suffered there I had heard her called, when spoken roughly to by my ranged men for pressing forward so. It stole upon me hers was a face I knew, yet when, or how, I had known it, for a while eluded me. And then at once it came. 30 years or more before that noon I was sub-captain of a company drawn from the Legion of Calabria, that marched up from Judea north to Tyre. We had pierced the old flat country of Jezreel, the greatest Drelon plain and fighting floor of Jew with Canaanite, and with the host of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, met while crossing there to strike the Assyrian pride. We left behind Gilboa, passed by Nain, till bulging Tabor rose, embossed to the top with arbute, terebinth, and locust growths. Encumbering me were sundry sick, so fallen through drinking from a swamp beside the way, but we pressed on, till, bearing over a ridge, we dipped into a world of pleasantness a vale, the fairest I had gazed upon, which lapped a village on its furthest slopes called Nazareth, brimmed round by uplands nigh. In the midst thereof a fountain bubbled, where, lime dry from marching, our glad halt we made to rest our sick ones, and refresh us all. Here a day onward, towards the eventide, our men were piping to a Pyrrhic dance trod by their comrades, when the young women came to fill their pitchers, as their custom was. I proffered help to one a slim girl, coy even as a fawn, meek, and as innocent. Her long blue gown, the string of silver coins that hung down by her banded beautiful hair, symboled in full immaculate modesty. I was young, and hot, and readily stirred to quick desire. 'Twas tedious timing out the convalescence of the soldiery, and I beguiled the long and empty days by blissful yieldance to her sweet allure, who had no arts, but without art at all, the tremulous tender charm of trustfulness. We met, and met, and under the winking stars that passed which people's earth true union, yea, to the pure eye of her simplicity. Meanwhile the sick found health, and we pricked on. I made her no rash promise of return, as some do use. I was sincere in that. I said we sundered never to meet again, and yet I spoke untruth unknowingly. For meet again we did. Now, guess you what? the weeping mother on Calvaria, was she I had known, albeit that time and tears had wasted rudely her once flower-like form, and her soft eyes, now swollen with sorrowing. Hawkeye betrayed some qualms, she marked me not, and I was scarce of mood to comrade her, and close the silence of so wide a time, to claim a malefactor as my son, for, so I guessed him, and inquiry made broad rumor, how at Nazareth long before an old man wedded her for pity's sake on finding as he had grown pregnant, none knew how, cared for her child, and loved her till he died. L. There it ended. Save that then I learned, that he the man whose ardent blood was mine had waked sedition long among the Jews, and hurled insulting parlance at their god, whose temple bulked upon the adjoining hill, vowing that he would raise it, that himself was God as great as he whom they adored, and by descent, moreover, was their king, with sundry other incitements to misrule. He impalements done, and done the soldier's game of raffling for the clothes, a legionary, Longinus, pierced the young man with his lance at signs from me, moved by his agonies through naysaying the drug they had offered him. It brought the end. And when he had breathed his last the woman went. I saw her never again. Now glares my moody meaning on you, friend. That when you talk of offspring as sheer joy so trustingly, you blink contingencies. For's fortuna. He who goes fathering gives frightful hostages to hazardry. Thus Panthera's tale. 'Twas one he seldom told, but yet it got abroad. He would unfold, at other times, a story of less gloom, though his was not a heart where jests had room. He would regret discovery of the truth, was made too late to influence, to ruth the procurator who had condemned his son or rather him so deemed. For there was none to prove that Panthera erred not. And indeed, when vagueness of identity I would plead, Panther himself would sometimes own as much yet lawfully. But, assuming fact was such, that the said woman did not recognize her lover's face, is matter for surprise. However, there's his tale, fantasy or otherwise. Thereafter shone not men of Panthera's kind. The indolent heads at home were ill inclined to press campaigning that would hoist the star of their lieutenant's valorous afar. Jealousies kept him irked abroad, controlled and stinted by an empire no more bold. Yet in some actions southward he had share in Mauritania and Numidia, there with eagle eye, and sword and steed and spur, quelling uprisings promptly. Some small stir in Parthia next engaged him, until maimed, as I have said, and Cynic time proclaimed his noble spirit broken. What a waste of such a Roman, one in youth time graced with indescribable charm, so I have heard, yea, magnetism impossible to word, when faltering as I saw him. What a fame, O son of Saturn, had adorned his name, might the three so have urged thee. Hour by hour his own disorders hampered Panthera's power, to brood upon the fate of those he had known, even of that one he always called his own either in morbid dream or memory. He died at no great age, untroublously, an exit rare for ardent soldiers such as he. The unborn? I rose at night, and visited the cave of the unborn. And crowding shapes surrounded me for tidings of the life to be, who long had prayed the silent head to haste its advent morn. Their eyes were lit with artless trust, hope thrilled their every tone. A scene the loveliest, is it not? A pure delight, a beauty spot where all is gentle, true and just, and darkness is unknown? My heart was anguished for their sake, I could not frame a word, and they descried my sunken face, and seemed to read there, and trace the news, that pity would not break, nor truth leave unaverred. And as I silently retired I turned and watched them still, and they came helter-skelter out, driven forward like a rabble rout into the world they had so desired by the all-imminent will. 1905. The man he killed, had he and I, but met by some old ancient inn, we should have sat us down to wet right many a nipperkin. Outranged as infantry, and staring face to face, I shot at him as he at me, and killed him in his place. Shot him dead, because he was my foe, just so. My foe of course he was, that's clear enough, although, he thought he'd list, perhaps, offhand like just as I was out of work had sold his traps, no other reason why. S. Quaint and curious warriors. You shoot a fellow down, you treat, if met where any bar is, or help to half a crown. 1902. Geographical knowledge, a memory of Christiana C. Where Blackmoor was, the road that led to Bath, she could not show, nor point the sky, that overspread towns 10 miles off or so. But that Calcutta stood this way, Cape Horn there figured fell, that here was Boston, here Bombay, she could declare full well. Less known to her the track athwart Froome Mead or Yellham Wood, than how to make some austral port and seas of surly mood. She saw the glint of Guinea's shore behind the plum tree nigh, heard old unruly Biscay's roar and the weir's purl hard by. My son's a sailor, and he knows all seas and many lands, and when he's home he points, and shows each country where it stands. He's now just there by Gibbs High Rock, and when he gets, you see, to Portsmouth here, behind the clock, then he'll come back to me. One Ralph Blossom soliloquizes, T being deposed, that which women who were maids, before he knew them have. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.